Hello everyone, my name is Jen Torres and I am a God, and so are you. Like many of you, I was raised to believe that if I just prayed hard enough, God would save me. As it turns out, that was actually true. I saved me. At the age of 15, I became pregnant with a beautiful baby girl who dropped in just in time to save my miserable life. This was my first awakening. This podcast is about all of the words and listening to those words to begin to envision what is possible. Because sometimes, as individuals, we feel we need to know everything, have it all together, and be everything all of the time. But that's why we live in a world filled with other people. Each person holds a piece of the puzzle. It's about being open to new information, new ideas, and new perspectives. We're going to talk about all of the topics surrounding what it takes for you to step into your God-Goddess journey with me as we uncover all things living self-actualized and in your inherent divine God state. This podcast is about doing whatever it takes to develop and nourish the God in you.
Oh, hello everyone, and welcome to another brand new episode of the She's a God podcast. My name is Jen Torres. I'm the host of the show and a certified human design reader. Welcome to the show. So on today's show, I am talking all about Bali, the fact that I just got back from Bali about a week ago, and I had every single intention while I was there to record an episode or many episodes, but it just didn't happen. It was a totally different experience than what I expected, and I was unable to work at all. And I don't even consider this work. Podcasting is total play for me. I had all of my equipment there, but I still was unable to record anything, which is totally okay. And I'm able to jump back on the schedule now that I am back home. So welcome to the show. If you have never listened before, thank you for stopping in and giving it a listen. If you have listened before, welcome back. And of course, if you have any moment at all, even if you pause this episode for a second and shoot me a comment on the podcast, that will help so much, just because that helps with the algorithm of the show and helps the show to be heard in more places. So please go ahead and submit a comment on the podcast if you have a moment. Okay, so let's jump right into the topic of this podcast, which is Bali, Indonesia. So when I first had my awakening back in 2018, I wanted to go to Bali so bad. And I would see women there circling, doing, you know, women's divine feminine work. And I'd be like, oh my gosh, it just felt so good. Like I wanted to go there so bad. The energy felt so good. I would see throughout the years different spiritual people who are on like online, and they would live there or have houses there or something like that, and always be talking about the people and the culture and the vibe of Bali. And so I always wanted to go, you know, I've always wanted to go to Bali. And so an opportunity did present itself for me to go to Bali. And to be honest, it's really interesting. I got that initial kind of interest because I've always wanted to go to Bali, but it wasn't like this real sacral response, right? Of like, I have to go and this is the moment and this is the opportunity. I always, the entire time that like I had decided I was going to go in December of last year, and then every single month it would come to my awareness, like, do you really want to? Is this the one? Like, do you really want to go to Bali, you know, this year? And so it was just funny because I had so many reservations about this trip. It was like it just didn't quite feel like it was it. And so it probably wasn't actually. Now that I experienced it and I'm back, I'm like, oh yeah, probably not the right one. But all in all, I want to talk about the Bali because it's an amazing place. I highly recommend anybody who has the opportunity to experience this beautiful culture, this beautiful land to go and do it. If your soul is saying yes, go and venture off to these lands, because it's I'm definitely going to go back at some point. I don't know when exactly, but I definitely want to go back. So I want to take the opportunity just to have the platform and talk about Bali, because if you are ever interested in going there, ever felt kind of called to go there, I kind of want to give as much as I can. That way you can either prep yourself to go, or you can maybe just take something out of this that can help you with navigating, planning, logistics, anything like that. I just like to share my experience. That way you can hopefully pull something out of it that might inspire you or give you some type of information that could help you in the future. So first and foremost, with Bali, planning for Bali, it's one of those places, and I don't know if this is how it always is, but the plane tickets are way more money than the actual experience is what I've experienced. And that's just that, you know, Bali is the pricing there in terms of like to the US dollar is like so incredible. It's like seven times the amount. And so it's so cheap there. So like the US dollar goes, it's probably more, but like seven times the amount of like the rupee. So, and I'm probably getting that backwards now that I'm saying it out loud, but or messing that up somehow. But all you have to know is that you are basically a millionaire if you go to Bali. And it's because that you can literally just spend pennies on, you can get a massage, like a deep tissue massage for 90 minutes at a professional place for like $20 or $30 USD. So it is so, so cheap to go there and to eat and enjoy and stay places. It's so cheap. Now, the travel and getting there for me was super expensive. It's like, you know, you're gonna drop anywhere. I mean, if you find a ticket less than $1,300, you're probably lucky. So it's pretty expensive to fly there. But once you're actually there, don't plan on spending a lot of money because you just won't. And so that was awesome. Like to understand that, like once I got there, I was like, okay, like I literally, once I landed and I got there and I was in the Bali airport, I realized, I'm like, okay, all I did was, you know, exchange like 400 USD and I was good. I had like 6 billion rupee after I did that or something insane. So I was like good for the rest of the trip. I spent like 400 USD while I was there. Now, granted, I did, you know, stay partially at a retreat center that was already paid with someone else. And so there was that expense that was separate from the like 400 USD that I took with me. So I'm gonna kind of take you along with me like on the trip and just kind of explain how it went and things I would have done differently and things that were awesome. So first and foremost, where I really want to start is packing for Bali. I actually think I did great. I packed, you know, a ton of light clothes. And, you know, some people will tell you, you know, to watch what you wear, but it's really like, if you're in a temple, you want to be careful. You know, if you go to somewhere like a yoga retreat center, or you go to like a meditation or a sound healing, it doesn't really matter. But if you go to an actual real temple, you're probably going to want to, you know, just have like a shawl with you or something like that. It's not a big deal, but it's just kind of polite. And so I packed great, I think, for my trip. I didn't go crazy and I packed great for the trip. And the only thing was I was gone for 2 weeks. And that's the other thing, because the flying is like so, it's so far away that it's like, if you're actually going to go to Bali and you're going to plan on going there, I mean, you're not going to want to go there for like a week. You're going to want to go for like 2 weeks because it's so effing far that you don't want to go for just a little bit of time because it takes so freaking long to get there. You're going to travel for like a day and a half, a lot of times 2 days just to get there. And so it's so much travel, which is crazy. And it's like, if you're going to do all that, you might as well just plan to stay there for a while, you know, if you're going to do that. And so I even told myself, like, if I go back to Bali, I want to do 2 weeks by myself and 2 weeks with my partner. I would go for like a month. And just because it takes so long to get used to the time change too, you're literally on the other side of the world, that your body is totally trying to get used to the fact that your night is now your day. And so it takes a little bit to get used to it. And then of course you don't have your usuals that you usually have. I don't drink coffee. So I didn't have like my energy drinks or anything to keep me going. And my diet was changing while I was there. Got to watch the water. That's another thing. So it's just like allowing yourself time. Like if you go for more than 1 week, go for like 2 weeks or longer. And then it's going to be worth your travel time and your expense in getting there, because that's going to be the most expensive thing is the flight and to get there. And so the second thing that I wish I would have done a little bit differently is just know who you're going with. Okay. So here's the thing. I knew who I was going with. I was going with a group of women, woman who leads the group. I've known her for 4 years. I've had her on the podcast twice. Like, it's just like, I know this group of, like, I know the woman and I know the people, but it was like, no, I want to more so say, know the itinerary of like what you're going to be doing while you're there. Because that was like a big blow for me. It was like let me take you back for like 1 second, which is that like once you land right in the Bali airport, you know, you're in like, you're going to be in like, I think it's Seminyak and like Ubud, which is not like where we were in a retreat center that was like 4 hours away. Okay. In like a different part of Bali. So, you know, spending a couple of days in those places, adjusting, you know, to the time and all of that. And then taking that travel, that 4 hour travel up to the retreat center was, you know, the time that I had to kind of try to readjust to the timing of like where I was now in Bali. Now, the reason why I said know the itinerary is because we actually had, and this might not be a lot for you, but it was a lot for me. Like we actually had 3 ceremonies a day for 2 hours each. And we did not have anything planned for the ceremonies. So there was like no plan. Like you just get together in this ceremony and there's like no actual like agenda for like what you're going to do, what you're going to talk about. It was just like, there were a couple of times where we spent one entire like afternoon or morning, 2 hours, right? 2 full hours just planning that evening ceremony. So it wasn't like we weren't doing any spiritual work. We were just planning, like getting together and chit-chatting. And like we ended up amongst ourselves, the attendees, like planning the actual ceremony for that evening, which for that might be cool for some people, but for me, that drove me absolutely insane. Like, because my time there, you know, the entire time I was there when I was in Bali, I was just downloading like all of the places, like sacred places to go and like where to like connect, who to connect with. It was just all coming into my awareness. I remember waking up the second day there when I was only there for 2 days, meaning I hadn't met up with a retreat group or anything yet. And the second day there, I woke up and I immediately knew I needed to go to the water temple in Ubud. And I didn't really know anything about it. I just knew I needed to go. And when I got there, it was like amazing spiritual experience. I have some pictures I still haven't posted. I mean, it was a full on experience where they have you change your clothes before you go in. There's like a ceremonial process. And then you're literally getting into water. Okay. That's like almost to your chest. And then there's these huge water spouts that are coming out, like shooting this sacred water. And you're in this temple that's like, I don't even know, it was like over 1,000 years old or something like that. I can't remember exactly, but it was super old. And then the water's just like shooting out of these spouts and it is dousing you, okay, with water. I mean, you are soaked. It's funny because when I went to the water temple in Ubud, I totally forgot that I had worn makeup and I had mascara on, and my mascara was just like runny because I was just completely doused by this sacred water. But it was beautiful. I mean, like each spout represented something. The first spout represented karma, like bad karma, and it's releasing you of the bad karma in your lineage and all of that. And then the second one was for, I think he called it like energy phase, but I think it was just overall energy. And then the third spout was for everything. So it was amazing, beautiful experience. But again, I had that experience because I had a download. Like I literally just like woke up and it was like water temple Ubud, that's where you're going. And there was one other lady that I was with before we got to the actual retreat center or met up with the group. And I was like, do you want to go to this water temple with me? And she's like, yes. And then we just like went and it was epic. It was amazing. So yeah, it's just like like not just who you're going with, because I almost feel like that's not enough. You have to know what the itinerary is going to be. What are you guys spending your time on? What are you doing? What type of sacred work are you doing? Where are you going? Because the last thing you want to feel when you're in somewhere as holy and sacred and beautiful as Bali, the last thing you want to feel is like you're kind of stuck, you know, like in the retreat center. And that's literally how I felt. I was like this retreat center was next level. Okay. So I want to just shout out to Jada Retreat Center in Bali. I mean, we each had our own villa. Most of us who got singles, we each had our own villa. Like we had our own pool, our own kitchen. It was insane. Like I felt like I was on Housewives of Dubai. Housewives of Bali. And I was just like, what the actual fuck? Like I'm looking around and I'm like, wow, like this retreat center is everything. Like it was everything. And it made me so happy and so grateful to be there, because you're just like walking into this and you're like, whoa, even the pool at the retreat center was a salt water pool. So it was like no chlorine. And then they had these beautiful massage places in the back of the retreat, and you could just go there and get a massage, and the massage was so cheap. And so I got like a couple of massages while I was there. But again, it's just about knowing like what you're all going to be doing while you're there. Because imagine this, okay? You're in paradise. You're in fucking Bali. You're like, wow, looking around like this is amazing. I can't believe I'm here. You're slowly adjusting to the time and to the food and all of that. And you find yourself in the most beautiful, amazing resort. It's like next level. Like you can't even believe the like luxury resort that you're in. You're just like, wow, like it is so beautiful here. And then like the way it worked for me is I was getting downloads every single night about where to go. It was like, go to this waterfall, go to like this temple, go here, go there. But I couldn't go anywhere. I was stuck there like in these beautiful cement walls of this retreat. And every like for three times a day for 2 hours, we would all get together and just create a circle. And a lot of times we really weren't doing anything. We were kind of maybe, you know, the leader would grab a topic and start like talking, but it wasn't anything that I couldn't just like do a YouTube search on for water consciousness, let's say. And so it was like very underwhelming in that respect, where it was like, I needed to escape. Like I was like, oh my gosh, every day I was like questioning. I'm like, should I just turn this into a solo journey and just like respectfully leave and then like go and find a place like in somewhere in Bali and then do my own sacred journey? I really felt like I wanted to do that. And in hindsight, I probably just should have, because goddess knows when's the next time I'm going to be back in Bali. And I think I'm just going to do that next time. So I just say that to just put it out there. It's just like, if you're going to go that fucking far away and you're going to commit that much time, energy, and money into like where you're going, know the itinerary of like who you're going to be meeting up with and how you're going to be spending your time there every day. Because the last thing you want to do is get there. Having spent all that money, all that time, you know, in your life. Also, I'm trying to run a business here, but it's nearly impossible with the time change and like trying to navigate the schedule and all these different times meeting to do anything that I'm here to do. So you're sacrificing a lot, but it's like, are you able to get something actually out of it? Okay, so I've gone on many pilgrimages. I've gone on, you know, pilgrimages to Egypt, to Greece. And they were jam-packed with like high spiritual like level work, where it was like you were experiencing like full body activations. Like it was like, holy shit, like mind-blowing experiences. This was not it. So what I want to say here is just know what you're getting into. I knew when I went to Egypt and Greece with a different group, a different woman, I knew her activations. I knew her ceremony. You know, I can honestly say like with going to Bali, I hadn't really been doing any ceremonial work with this particular woman in some time. I mean, years and years. I found her when I first started out on my spiritual journey, which was like 4 years, 4 or 5 years ago, right? And it was suitable for me at that time. So that was my bad, right? Like I put myself in that situation where like I'm there and I'm like, whoa, like this is like, I'm spending all these hours every single day and holy shit, I'm bored, you know? And that's just, it was just, I felt bad. I feel bad saying that, but I was just like wanting to just go do my own thing so bad because I was having all these downloads on where to go and like what to do. So I want to just put that out there that the number one thing is if you're spending all of this time, all of this money, sacrificing so much to like go on these retreats, make sure you're going with someone who's going to take you into the deep work and you know they are. It's like without a shadow of a doubt, this person's going to take me to some deep shit and it's going to be amazing. Or know that that this person's cool enough where you can have the conversation to be like, whoa, like I really kind of want to do a solo journey and they're going to be cool. Like, do you have that rapport with them? Are you friends, like kind of friends where like you can do that? Or are they going to get offended? Are they going to take it personal? You know, are they going to, you know, be upset with you or anything like that? It's like, you have to know like basically who you're going with, because at the end of the day, it's your time. It's your energy and it's your money. And so I just want to put that out there to just do that in advance before you take any of these long trips, because you don't want to find yourself in that situation, because it was very difficult for me to be in such a beautiful place, feel almost trapped in the experience. Like, oh my gosh, like all I want to do is get out of here so that I can actually go and do my sacred work. So that brings me to like this second point that I want to make, which is that you also have to know where you are in your spiritual journey. Like for me personally, this experience helped me to realize where I am on my spiritual journey. I would always see, you know, on IG or Facebook, I would always see women going off and doing pilgrimages on their own. And I would think like, wow, wouldn't you want to be with a group? Or wouldn't you want to like, you know, whatever, like be with a big group of women? Now I get it. I'm like, okay. Like, because I was having so many downloads while I was there that it's like, I'm now to that point on my journey that I can honestly say like I can go on pilgrimages by myself. And that might be what I start to do is, you know, starting next year, is I might start doing solo pilgrimages where I, you know, just let my soul tell me where to go in this world and then take a trip there and just like explore the culture, the people, and, you know, seamlessly get these downloads and just allow it to guide me on where to go while I'm there. And then to just, you know, to the sacred lands, to the ley lines, to the vortexes, to the healers or high priestesses in the area, whatever, like let it take me where I'm going, needing to go. I realize I'm at that point where I'm getting that information and like I need that like freedom to be able to just go. So again, this, what I'm telling you, it might not pertain to like where you are on your journey. You might be at a point on your journey where what I'm saying is like, there's no way you would want to do that. There's no way you would want to journey alone or anything like that. I'm just saying from my experience, this is what's calling me next. What's calling me next is to definitely journey alone and to have that freedom to be able to visit the sacred spots, visit the ley lines, visit the vortexes, and have the freedom of getting up and doing my day the way I need to do it in order to grow on my spiritual path. So that's really what I want to say on this, is just to be sure before you leave or go anywhere that spiritual part is intact and you know why you're going. Because again, the last thing you want to do is feel like, holy shit, I need to like go do this thing, but you can't. That's really terrible feeling to have. So I feel like I kind of started off like in the logistics, like, okay, with like money and rupee and plane rides. And then now I'm into like the inner part of traveling and pilgrimaging. But really, you know, it does matter. Like, I wasn't sure that I'd go there in this episode, but I guess it needed to say, to be said, is that it does actually matter. Ensuring 100% that you have that freedom to journey on your own is a big part of this. Another thing that I wanted to mention is, you know, Bali's an amazing place. You're basically it is jungle land, right? So it's just like, you have to just be aware of the fact that there are bugs. There are the thing that was kind of sad that I saw that I was just like, oh, this is so sad, is that the dogs there, you know, they don't believe in keeping dogs as pets. They only bring them in at night to, they believe to that they're there for security. So it was kind of hard for me to see like all of the dogs, right? Like they all just look so sad in their eyes and so just abandoned, right? But it's not the first time I've seen that. I mean, like in Egypt, the dogs are neglected. When I went to Puerto Rico when I was like 18 or 19, the dogs are pretty wild there as well. So it's just, it's not uncommon. Americans, take good care of their dog in other places as well. We love our dogs. And so it was just hard to see the dogs because I was like, oh no, like I just want to like to rescue all of the dogs while I was there. Another thing that I was like noticed while I was there that I want to leave on here is just there's like, because Bali is like so, the people are so ceremonial. They're so, I mean, I think it's like some like 80 or 85% of the Indonesia is Hindu. So they believe in all of the different gods. And then there's another percentage that are Muslim. So everything there, I just want to say, is so sacred and ceremonial and ritualistic and spiritual in nature. So that's why you get that feeling. Like as a spiritual person, when you go to somewhere like Bali, you're like, wow, like I get it. I get why people come here and they're just like, I don't want to leave, you know, just because there's like everywhere you go, there's a temple, which I remember asking my driver, I was like, hey, what's up with all the temples? Like, why are there so many temples? It was like every fourth, fifth, or sixth infrastructure was some kind of temple. And he told me that there is a temple for each person's family. There's a temple for each community. And yeah, I think there was something else too, a temple per city or something. So there's a lot of temples because like each family has their own temple, which I was like, holy shit, that's pretty wild. So it's like you see all of these temples everywhere you go. Even if you're in like a quote unquote residential area, there's a temple there. Some of them are big, small, but no matter what, from the outside, you see that they're a temple. There's these ceremonial offerings everywhere you go. So like they create these little sacred ceremonial things. And then they put like incense and flowers on. It's like a little tray made of bamboo leaves. And then they put flowers in there and then they put incense and then they put it on the outside of their doors. And you see that also with businesses. So when you're just walking around Bali and you're passing a business, let's say you're passing a gas station or a corner store, you'll see the little tray that's made of bamboo leaves. And then you'll see the flowers with the incense in it. So it's like their offerings are everywhere for the gods. And so the last effing thing you want to do is step on one. That's like super disrespectful. So it's like watching where you step is huge. And then also you want to watch where you step anyway, because there is mostly no sidewalks where I was. And I'm told that I was like on the, I want to say east or west side of Bali. And I'm not sure if that's just like less built up in terms of infrastructure than South Bali. But where I was, there were like hardly any sidewalks. Like if you see a sidewalk that, right, it's like, wow, there's a sidewalk there. And even you can call it a sidewalk, but really it's like not very big. It's like, you know, maybe 2 to 3 feet wide, maybe, of cement where you can walk. And so there are tons, it's really kind of scary to walk there. Because there's so many motorbikes too. There's like all of these motorbikes coming at you from every direction. And I didn't see not one accident, but the driving is insane. And it's just like you're walking along the sidewalks, is quote unquote sidewalks, and all of a sudden just one whole piece of the ground would be missing. And it's like, whoa, like if I wasn't looking down, my foot would have gone down and I would have like smashed my face on this cement. Like, holy shit. So it's like dangerous even walking, you know, because it's like you don't know where to step. So it's busy AF, like in Ubud and Seminyak, like the places that I was at, like when I landed, those like cities surrounding the airport, it's super busy. There's people everywhere, cars, motorcars, motorbikes, everywhere. And from what I hear, that's newer. Like within the last like 5 to 7 years, it got way more busy. And so maybe it wasn't like that 10 years ago, but right now it is super busy in those places. And so it makes it tricky with walking or going anywhere because you want to be careful where you step. Now, there are some interesting customs too. So I kind of want to talk about that, which going into the temples, right? Because there's temples everywhere. So you're going to go into a temple like at some point while you're there. And a couple of the customs are like, you know, no patting the kids on the heads. They think that's disrespectful to do that. Another one the woman told me was to just take your feet and like tuck them under you. That's like respectful. Like if you're in ceremony and you're just like sprawling your feet out toward the center, that's considered disrespectful. So it's like tucking your feet behind you is like the way to be respectful, like when you go into these temples. So that's another thing that I picked up that I was like, oh, interesting. And then also in temples, just covering like your knees and your shoulder, or at least your shoulders, I think is respectful, like as a foreigner, right? Like coming into their space. So there was that too. And then of course, like most places that you visit, be careful with the water. Like you don't want, they have what's called, they say what's called like Bali belly. And it's like when you have ingested at some point the water there and now you've got the Bali belly. Now, I'm not sure if I had that, but all I know is I came back and I was like, lost like 8 pounds. So like I was like skinny AF when I got, because I'm already on the thin side. But when I got back, I'm still actually, I gained 1 pound since I've been back, and I've been back a month. And then some, I'm pretty sure it'll just, my weight will fluctuate. But when I got back, I was like skinny AF. Like I haven't been that skinny since I was like 22. And so, and I'll be 40 this year. So it was like, what the fuck? When I like, I, and it's weird because when I was there, I was eating almost 3 times a day, which to me is like, makes me just want to throw up everywhere just thinking about it. I don't eat that much. Eating to me makes me tired. I don't eat a lot in the morning. I eat like fruit, drink water and tea in the morning. And then in the afternoon, if I start to get hungry, which is usually not until like 2, I eat something light, like scrambled eggs or, you know, a small salad or like a small cup of rice or something like that until dinner time. I do not like eating heavy. It makes me feel horrible. So it was like, when we were there, we were getting 3 meals a day at the retreat center, which was fucking amazing. Like I mentioned, it was next level good. Like the food was so amazing. Like everything we ate was so good, but it was all non-dairy, you know, no cheese, no dairy at all. And then it was all vegan food. And so even though I was eating 3 times a day, I think I was still losing weight. So I think that, and my stomach was kind of hurt, like on and off hurting me. When I looked in the mirror, I felt like I was gaining weight. Like I would have a bloated stomach every day almost. And I felt like I was gaining weight when I looked in the mirror when I was there. However, when I got home, I looked in the mirror and I like jumped on the scale because I was like, holy shit, I feel like I can't even tell in my face and my neck how that I lost weight. And so I jumped on the scale and I was like, holy shit, I'm 8 pounds lighter. Like I didn't expect to be 8 pounds lighter, you know, I was like at all. Cause I felt like I was eating so much while I was there, but I guess it's just the food, you know, being totally vegan, I wasn't having anything that was bad. And it was mostly soft food, which is helpful in digestion. Yeah. I mean, I'm happy to be back. Let me tell you, I am a person who loves to work. And my work is not work to me. My work is my sacred duty here on the planet. And it feels good to me to work. Okay. It's not like some kind of job for me, you know? So it's like when I got back, I was eager to podcast. I was eager to teach my human design. I'm eager for Sister Circle. You know, I have one coming up here where I live August 1st. Like, it's just like, I'm ready to get back to it because I'm ready to do what I love in my life. I'm a manifesting generator. I'm here to do things in my life. So it was just, I was so ready to do the fucking thing when I got back. I was like ready to get out of that retreat center, even though I loved it so much and it was luxury. I think I probably had the best room there, which is like I had this fantastic outdoor bathroom that looked like IG. Like I still need to post videos and pictures and of all of this. It was so fantastic. It was like, you know, you walk out and it's like the stone, white stone walls with the outdoor shower. shower and the like greenery cascading down the sides with like flowers everywhere. Like it was just outstanding. Like the actual retreat center was outstanding. But again, it was pretty grueling. Like the schedule, I was like, holy shit, like I need to like do something with my life. Like I was just like so ready. However, I will say now I almost forgot to mention this. So there is a woman, okay, who lives in Bali, and her name is, I'm going to butcher it, but it's definitely, it's something like Ida Rusi Elite or something like that. And she's a high priestess in Bali, which is like very rare to see a woman priestess. In Bali, there's a lot of men that are priests, but you don't see many priestesses in Bali, like in terms of actual Balinese and high priestess. So she's known as the high priestess in Bali. I'm going to have her on the show soon. She is fantastic, you guys. Like that was, she actually came to the retreat center and we had an experience with her. And even though I was in a rut about like just how it was going, I mean, I was so grateful to have experience with her. It was magical. Okay. I'm just going to say it was magical. Like she does this thing with like the bells where she rings these bells and she does this chanting. And I was just, holy shit. And then there's this part where she does this water, which it's like she's dumping water on you. And she told me to go dry off in the sun. So the sun was kind of setting a bit while I was drying off. And I literally could see, okay, so now I'm going to share some spiritual experiences that I had while I was there. Tell me if you know about Father Ra and the Sun Tribe. Okay, so like I did many, many, many initiations from like 2020 to 2023 with Father Ra and the Sun Tribe through a high priestess that I know who journeys specifically with this group, a celestial group. And so I literally saw, like I was gazing out into the sun after this initiation with Ida Rusi Elite, or I got to get her name right. But, and when I was gazing out into the sun, I saw the entire Sun Tribe and then Father Ra just like right there. And they were just like holding space for me, like as I was, had received this initiation. And I was just like, whoa. Like, you know, that was like, gave me such vibes and chills. And then the second part is after she had taken us through the water purification, right? Where she like pours the water on you. And after I dried off in the sun, she kind of got us back into the group. And when I got back in the group, you know, she took us through this ending ceremony. And it was kind of like where she does the bell or chanting. I think that's what she was doing. And it was like a closing ceremony for the experience with her. And when she did that, when she was closing the ceremony, like I had my eyes closed. And I could see all around me were these blue gods. There were like these blue beings all around me. And they were like kind of like laughing like in this very like high vibe way. It was just this beautiful energy. If I could choose a word for the energy they were emitting to me, it was just joy. This almost childlike joy, which I think I needed that in the moment because I was so like, oh my gosh, like a little bit disappointed with everything else, that I needed that in that moment. And they were literally surrounding me and they were like putting flowers in my hair and like putting stuff on me, like flower, like these, like, I don't even know what it all was. It was like, there was this gold and like shiny stuff. And there were like diamonds that they were like braiding into my hair. It was like a whole thing. And it literally energetically, that's what it looked like visually, but energetically, it just felt like a blessing. Like it felt like I was receiving a blessing. And so that was a massive spiritual experience for me while I was there with that high priestess specifically that had come to the retreat center to take us on this journey. So again, I'm going to have her on the show soon. But I just wanted to give her a shout out because that was huge. If you go to Bali, you have to see her because she's the real deal and she will take you on an experience that will be next level. So I'm glad I remembered to get that in because there was so much on my list I was trying to cover and I wanted to make sure to talk about her because she's amazing and also her story. I mean, I was just bawling the entire time she was talking about her story. I was just bawling because it's like, was my life, you know, like she had to like overcome so much and she had gotten like so much shit from so many people. And, you know, that was just my life. And I still continue to experience some of these things with other people, you know? And it's just like, wow, like it's almost overwhelming to hear like my story from like out of someone else. It was just, if anything, it just inspired me. Like it just, because her story is way different from mine, but it's still a story that kind of, it's laced in struggle, you know? And like just hearing her talk about it, I was like, wow, like it was so inspiring to hear someone to continue to like overcome in life. And I was just like, whoa, like I was just like bawling as she was telling this. So highly, highly recommend her. And I will have her on the show very soon. I hope to remember to like put her in the show notes of this podcast just so you can maybe follow her on Instagram or just check her out. But she's somebody who I was like, okay, like, wow, like she's, this was an amazing experience with her. And energy there is like so good. So I just want to leave it at that. I hope you were able to get something out of my experience in Bali. It's a beautiful place. It's something you have to experience in your life as far as I'm concerned. I definitely want to go back. I want to do it differently for sure, but I definitely want to go back and connect with the land and the people and the waterfalls and all that is there around us that is just desiring to connect with us on a soul level. So I'm just sending everyone so much love, and I'll reconnect and see you on the very next episode of the She's a God podcast. Much love.
Thank you for listening to the She's a God podcast. Tune in next Thursday for a brand new episode. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. I would love to hear from you. Follow me on social media at This Is Jen Torres for all of the latest. And remember, she is a God, and so are you.